And now a word from our compliance department. David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual's situation and engagement of the services to be offered, and only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
I know you love that new open, Scott.
He sounds serious.
Hey, this is a serious show about real people with real problems that need real solutions. We ain't got time to talk about razor blades, man.
I hear you.
So you're going to have to get your consumer reports or something else, or listen to another show, because we're not going to do it on this show.
So if I need to find out if I can afford hot pink Martin, Doc Martin pink boots, it's somewhere else.
Okay. We'll save that for another show. All right. Couple of top, you got me busted up, Scott. Make sure I get to our primary topic today is going to be how to die the right way, which is no laughing matter. We need to make sure we take the proper steps to get all of our documents in order. And then our 2-minute warning, 5 ways to sabotage your retirement. But first, since everybody can tell that Mr. Scott Connor's in the house, we have
the fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
Wow.
Yeah, I told you I was going to jazz it up. There's nothing. Wow. There's just nothing not to love here, man.
You're absolutely right.
So tell us what we should be loving about the market. What did the market do for Monday, January 9th?
Monday's market was another boring one. We're on a real streak of boring markets.
But you know what? I would love to string together a whole bunch of boring 30, 40, 50-point increases on the market.
Yeah, well, you got your wish for Monday. The Dow was up 30 points. NASDAQ up a little over 2 points. S&P up almost 3 points. Very, very, very thin trading. Monday's market also kicked off earnings season with Alcoa announcing earnings, a loss of 3 cents versus expectation of a loss of 3 cents. So no surprise there. Revenue higher than expected, almost $6 billion for the quarter from Alcoa. That's so much money.
So here's the question everybody wants to know. Why didn't they make any money then with $6 billion in sales?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like any other business.
Cost of goods sold.
Cost of goods sold, and then they've got labor expenses and tax expenses and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So all that $6 billion, they weren't able to turn into profit.
Wow. $6 billion and you got nothing, no cash in the to show for it.
Yeah, it really is. It really is pretty amazing. Other news from Monday's market, more news out of the European Union. Sarkozy and Merkel are getting together and they're saying, you know, we need to get everybody in the same circle here and come up with an agreement about what we're going to do about Greece, and we need to do it fast. They want a new treaty signed by March 1st.
What's the kid game you play where it's musical chairs? You know, yeah. They need to do that over like at their next meeting.
Yeah. Well, there's the, you know, we've been talking about Italy for a while. Now, all of a sudden, Greece is going to be back on the front page because they're saying, well, maybe we aren't going to give you your next big bailout check.
Well, and Greece is like, well, you know, we're not even sure we want to be part of the union. And right. maybe the European Union is like, well, you know what? Hey, I don't want to twist your arm here.
Right.
If you want to go, go.
Yeah, go.
And we don't have to send you any more money.
Right. But Greece can't do that. I mean, they'll implode. Corporate news for Monday's market. Apple hit an all-time high since its December 1980 IPO. Goldman Sachs raised the price target to $550 a share from $530. It trades today at about 4 and a quarter in there somewhere. So still, according to Goldman Sachs, a lot of upside potential there. Big auto show in Detroit this week. Auto companies, domestic auto companies are saying they're expecting sales to grow 4 to 9%, third consecutive annual gain, if they are correct. General Motors said they have joint ventures there that sold 2.5 million vehicles in China.
Wow.
In 2011.
Well, China's supposed to be all the rage, so to speak, one of the biggest potential consumer markets to exist. And, you know, once they really, you know, what's been happening, of course, is their economy, as it continues to build at a pretty brisk pace, they're starting to develop an actual middle class.
Yeah.
And the projections are...
Yeah, that own property.
Yeah, actually own stuff. Yeah. And, you know, and... It's almost like a controlled capitalism, a very structured, center-run capitalism. But there's projections out there that eventually their middle class will be bigger than our entire population.
Yeah, that's a heck of a consumer
base. That's a lot of folks. Well, and they are expected within the next year or two. Goldman says that they're going to be importing more oil than we are within a couple of years.
Well, especially if they're buying 2.5 million vehicles from General Motors joint ventures.
Yeah, and all those aren't volts, are they?
No, they're going to need it, and they don't have the EPA controls and things like that, so they probably are less efficient in their usage of oil.
There's like coal just falling out the back of the muffler or something.
Yeah, blue smoke and all that. Looking ahead further in the week, Tuesday's big news will be the New Hampshire primary, obviously. Wednesday's big news is a 10-year note auction and the beige book from the Fed. Thursday, we get the jobless claims, as always on Thursdays, plus a 30-year bond auction. And then Friday, we get University of Michigan consumer sentiment. All throughout this week and the next 4 weeks, really, we'll also be getting a big old slew of earnings announcements.
Well, a couple of quick things I was going to share as part of your 5 minutes, which I'm always getting into.
They're really your 5 minutes.
Well, but you know, we do have the new jingle that says you're yours, but I always borrow some of them. I found this interesting. I thought you'd like this. Wall Street Journal had out for 2011 who were for the 1 year period of 2011 the best performing and worst performing mutual funds.
Yeah, some big names in there.
Yeah, which I thought was very interesting. Of course, I'm always a give me the bad news first, and I'll take the good news after that. The worst performing fund was USX China Fund.
Yeah.
So they bet on China, that fund.
Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody was expecting it was a topsy-turvy year because everybody expected emerging markets to do very, very well in 2011. And the BRICS, the so-called BRICS in particular, are among the worst performers of the year.
Hold on, let me see if I can get it. Brazil, Russia, India, and China.
Yeah, India was by far the worst.
Okay.
Negative 40% on their stock market. So going back to what we were talking about in China, you know, just because they have a huge consumer base doesn't mean it's a good place to invest from the standpoint of stock markets. And the other thing that was crazy about last year is that at the beginning of the year, myself included, everybody thought, well, interest rates are going to have to go up, and they didn't do anything but go down. So the best performing funds really were largely bond funds.
Or if you were betting the other way.
Yeah,
so
or in inverse funds.
The 1 year best performing fund was the, and I always have trouble pronouncing it, so help me out, Scott, it's the
Direction.
Direction.
It's Direction.
Direction.
It looks like Direxion or something like that.
But it's Direction. I've seen it obviously tons of time, but never actually had to pronounce it. All right, and it was a Direction India Bear 3x fund. So they were, that
Yeehaw.
Fund bet 3x the magnitude of a drop in the Indian index.
Hang on.
Wow. And they won. They had like 80% return for 1 year.
They did, yeah.
Gosh, that's amazing.
We should talk about those types of vehicles, though, because they're not as simple as they seem, and they're not designed for long-term holds.
Hang in there. We're going to come right back from the next break, and I want to talk also about why there are positive signs for U.S. manufacturing.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read will find you clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. That number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
That's what I'm talking about. You like that one?
I love that one.
That one's cool, isn't it?
That is my favorite.
Well, you know, we've got this Finglish English thing working, and I like it because, you know, this stuff is just gobbledygook for a lot of people. Sometimes I'm like, man, this makes my head hurt. So I know that, you know, the person that doesn't do this all the time, they just scratch their head and they start talking, you know, you start talking about participation rates.
Yeah,
and
I know it.
And we got to break it down. So that's what we're going to do. All right. So one of the things I was going to mention, though, before the break, and I'll touch this just for a second, and then we'll get back on the program, was the whys of a positive sign for U.S. manufacturing. And one of them is that, believe it or not, our labor is getting cheaper compared to some of the other countries. And, you know, it was always the concern, or what drove a lot of the outsourcing of American jobs, that labor was vastly cheaper overseas. Well, now there's an example in the Wall Street Journal a couple days ago where Caterpillar is struggling with the Canadian union that deals with, I guess, that type of factory manufacturing work like Caterpillar does.
Yeah.
And they're struggling with them because they're like, look, guys, do you know, we love you, but it's a lot cheaper in the U.S. So we're going to send, believe that, we're going to send the jobs from Canada to the United States for some of the stuff that Caterpillar puts together.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the other things that particular article, which I did have a chance to read, alludes to is that American workers are so much more efficient. So even if you're spending...
Is it the worker or is it the automation? Or
it's both.
Okay.
It's both, I think. But
I want to be fair to our Canadian friends that, you know, they don't think that, we don't think they're sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah, I think it's both. But I mean, if you're spending $35 an hour on labor and getting X production, and in the next country you're getting X plus more production, that's better.
Okay.
So I think that's part of it. Also, there's some thoughts about a weak dollar had helped, but the dollar has been strengthening recently, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see if that really holds true, that there's that disparity in terms of our cost versus theirs and being able. But I love the fact, you know, all news should not be bad news, ladies and gentlemen. So I love the fact that we can actually share that, hey, that looks positive for U.S. manufacturing.
Yeah, here's the disappointing part, though, is that, you know, if you look at any survey of employers of any size, really, they say the real reason that they're not hiring here is either uncertainty or because of business regulations. So now we have this tremendous opportunity because of all the things that you talked about and that they mentioned in that Wall Street Journal, and we're not maximizing them because we still have all that stuff in the way.
I know. Jack Welch just stepped into that, former GE chairman, CEO.
Not a shy fellow.
Not a shy guy. He just stepped in and started talking about that recently in the public domain and says, regulation, you got to be careful not to let that choke off the growth.
Yeah.
Now, what are for our listeners, one of the things I think that would be helpful is we've got election year, we've got the currency translations and fluctuations and how currencies are exchanged and what you get for your dollar. The euro hit an not all time, but 16-month low.
Yeah.
And so we got a lot of things happening. Commodity prices looking like they may go up, inflation's on the table. So all of that. Talk a little bit, Scott, from your chair in running our portfolios at Holland Financial. What are some of the tweaks that we are making that might be helpful for people to understand that they might want to think about for their portfolios?
Yeah, I think the most important thing to talk about when it comes to that is if you are pursuing an asset allocation program, which is what we do because we want to manage risk.
Divvying it up.
Yeah, then you have to stay more or less true to the asset allocation that you choose. You can't make these great big changes here and there. Now, we do make adjustments, so we're actually positioned.
So you're not sitting on your hands.
No. But we also don't abandon an asset allocation because of an election.
Not looking at the report from the day's market activity and then placing trades just because of that.
Yeah, that's actually the opposite of our strategy. So the first thing you have to do is have an appropriate asset allocation. You have to stick to it. Now, you can adjust it. If markets are moving rapidly up, then it's not a bad idea to move a little bit of the risk protection money into more risk on money.
But you don't abandon the entire strategy and say, I'm going all to, you know, large cap stocks, I'm going to go three times bull direction.
Yeah. To give you an example, the first thing that I think a professional manager has to do, and most clients should do if they're managing on their own, is to manage risk first. Everybody focuses on return. I have to get X% return. But really, it's about managing risk first. So we make reactions more from a risk management standpoint than a return management standpoint.
You know what's funny, Scott, is that when, and you've seen it and I've seen it plenty of times, is when the market's going up, the risk now no longer is losing money that people worry about. You know what risk they worry about?
Yeah, not gaining enough.
They worry about somebody else making more money than
That's
them.
Exactly,
and that they, I missed out on that last run, or you had me in cash. Well, yeah, we are trying to protect you. And again, like you said, risk first. then we're going to manage the growth. And if we miss out a little bit on some growth, well, it's because we've got to cover the downside. No matter, you know, and that applies at all levels of risk, right? I mean, if we Absolutely. Have an aggressive portfolio versus conservative, you're still going to have an element of risk avoidance
yeah.
or minimization, even at those higher levels of risk.
Right. It's about the trade-off between the return yeah. potential and the risk that you're taking on. But to talk a little bit about some of the nuances that we have put in the portfolio, because we do try to seek, you know, a little extra return or a little extra risk protection.
Alpha.
Yeah, in some specific ways. So recently we extended our bond durations, which means instead of being invested in mutual funds that invest in 3, 4, 5 year bonds, we're much on the longer end now. We did that in
we're
reaction.
We're lengthening it. Okay.
Yeah, we did that in reaction to the so-called Operation Twist by the Fed, where they said they were going to sell their 10s and buy their 30s.
Well, not only that, but they're also let us know real clearly that nothing's going, interest rates are not going to go up from a Fed action until
right.
2013.
Right. And could conceivably go down. There was actually an auction in Germany for Monday's market that produced negative yield. So there's still a lot of money flowing into the safe havens,
wow.
which could push yields down and push those longer bonds up. You know, we also are always reanalyzing every position we have for expenses. We look for what's called style drift. We make sure there haven't been any management changes. And we also look for specific sector exposures. We may be exposed to medical at some point or industrials at some point. We are exposed a little bit to industrials right now.
Well, when you talk about style drift, that's just making sure that the investment manager, the fund manager that we've hired to manage a slice of the pie, is staying true to what they said they were going to do.
Right. They're doing the job that we hired them to
so
do
we,
because we don't need two people doing the same job.
Right. And we don't need them doing something exotic.
Right.
We, you know, if we ask them to buy large companies like the IBMs and the Exxons, and that's what we ask them to do, we don't want to find out they're buying small startup companies in Brazil.
Right. Or if they're buying all tech companies, so we need to know that as well.
Okay, Scott.
So those are the things that we keep an eye on here.
Well, thank you for your contribution to the glorious Finglish to English segment.
I helped break it down.
All right. We're going to take another short break. Come back, talk about how to die the right way.
What if the process of creating your financial plan was easy, hassle-free, and straightforward? What if it was conducted by a friendly professional and there was nothing expected of you in return? It almost sounds too good to be true, right? It's the way David Holland has been doing business at his firm, Holland Financial, for over 13 years. Since day one, it has been David's mission to provide individuals with practical solutions for their retirement needs. Financial planning doesn't have to be complicated or stressful. To learn more about our services, visit us at hollandfinancial.com or call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 888-747-7526.
Okay, we're back. And as promised, I want to talk about something that most people don't want to talk about. And it's how to die the right way. Kiplinger had an article by that title, and I thought that was very interesting, and I read it and said, yeah, there's some good stuff there, but I'm going to mention several things that I've dealt with directly and working with clients that I think would be helpful to you, my listener, and that is that you just can't put it off. You got to get it right. I've seen people do it the right way. I've seen people do it the wrong way, and I've seen the consequences of both versions of that. For those people that actually take the time to put their financial affairs, their estate planning, and all that in order, I have seen for their beneficiaries, be that kids that live locally, wherever they do, or across the country, or if they're leaving their money to a charity or whatever it is, I've seen that go much, much smoother. It's not perfect, and there's always going to be a few wrinkles, but vastly better than the situations where people did not have their estate plan put together. They didn't have it clear what they wanted to have happen, or they hadn't updated or changed things to keep it current. So, you know, your estate planning, and I'm not an attorney, we know we need to add that. I'll have to make a note. We'll add that to the disclaimer. That big thing at the front of the show, we'll put on there also that I'm not an attorney and I don't give legal advice either. But having done the financial planning as long as I have, I've seen a lot of this come up as part of the process. And so what we want to make sure of is that we've got the proper documents in place, and you know, once you have them in place, first you've got to get the right ones in place. And then once you have them in place, it's kind of like a car. And I often use a car analogy for doing analysis of investments, our 19-point inspection. But you can use the same type of analogy dealing with your estate documents. If you've got a will or a trust or durable powers of attorney or advanced directive for health care, power of attorney for health care, all these documents, you've got to make sure that they're current. Because if they're not, they can actually end up doing more damage than if you didn't have anything. If it's something goes to the wrong person or something's not updated properly. So you've got to do that maintenance. Now, I'm a big believer, and I'm not just trying to pat my attorney friends on the back, do a lot of work with attorneys. I'm a big believer of sitting down, spending the money with an attorney, take the time and talk to them about what you're trying to accomplish and let them do the proper documents for where you live, whatever state you're in. Because the laws governing how the documents need to be put together in the specific language can vary according to the state you live in. And I think that's a much better approach than to try to do something on the computer. This is my personal opinion, my professional opinion, that you do it. The computer can't take the place of that interaction with an experienced attorney that knows the law. So you take the time and you spend the money. You can ask how much it's going to cost. And you find an attorney that is experienced, knowledgeable, and has a good reputation. And then you spend the money to get it done properly. Don't try to skimp because the computer's not smart enough yet to actually really give you what may be necessary for your situation. And there's other questions an attorney might ask that the computer software is not going to ask. And the do-it-yourselfer, there's a lot of areas where people try to do things themselves, and I think that there's a lot of places where you can do it yourself, but when it comes to law, I don't think that's a very good idea. So you got to get it done and get it done right. And you know, people spend money going on cruises and traveling and all that, and then they get a little bit anxious over spending money for a good attorney to do the proper documents. Please get the work done. Okay, now I said it. Let me tell you some of the things that need to be done. And you know, it's really powerful to get this stuff done ahead of time, because one of the biggest things this gives you is tremendous peace of mind. I was working recently with one of my clients that does not have anybody who can really step in and do the things that need to be done. So she, because her family, her surviving family is in another country. And so we worked on an estate plan working with the attorney and got everything put together, everything all addressed, got the will, the trust she needed, the power of attorney for financial matters, durable power of attorney, her health care, durable power of attorney, her advanced directive that says, you know, don't try to, you know, keep me alive if I'm in a vegetative state. Don't resuscitate me under these circumstances. She got all that done. And at the end of the meeting, I'll never forget this, she looked at me and looked at the attorney and said, okay, I can die in peace. And it's not like she's planning on dying anytime soon, but just that peace of mind to know that it's done and you don't have to worry about it. So if you don't think you're going to die, not true. It's going to happen to all of us. You're too busy. Well, you're not too busy to get this done right. And if you can't stand thinking about a future that doesn't include you, well, sorry that the future doesn't include you at some point, just like it doesn't include me. So you've got to get these things done and get them done right. So, you know, a couple other things I think are important I'll mention to you, because I see this sometimes very often misunderstood, is you hear different terms thrown around. You hear about what's called a revocable trust or a living will, and these different, or I've got a living will, or I've got a revocable trust or a living trust, and all these terms get thrown around. And I want to clarify that a little bit. A living will is the advanced directive. That's where you write something down that says, if I am brain dead or I'm in a position where I am not expected to recover, don't try to save me and don't keep me around hooked up to tubes. And that's a living will equals an advanced directive. Now, A revocable trust is also a lot of times referred to as a living trust, because a revocable trust by its name is a trust you can revoke. You can change it. So you can set up the trust to make sure everything goes where you want it to. You can have anything that is in your estate controlled by a will go into the trust, and then that can then be handled by a trustee when you're gone, disperse it out to your family, give it to people only when they reach certain ages or only when certain conditions are met. These are all things that you can control with a trust. But a living trust is not the same as a living will. A living trust is a revocable trust. Living will is that advanced directive I talked about. Now, one last quick thing. Families fight sometimes over crazy stuff. Divvy up your stuff, put it in writing, make sure the personal representative knows who to give the stuff to. Now, I'm going to take another short break. When we come back, I'm going to give you a two-minute warning on five ways you could be torpedoing your retirement. Stick around.
Do you ever think about the effects inflation will have on your retirement savings? Can you remember when gas was just $1 per gallon, or when you could buy a house for less than what most cars sell for these days? Is it possible to keep pace with inflation and protect a portion of your portfolio from stock market volatility? A registered investment advisor can show you your options. Certified financial planner David Holland and his team of fee-based investment advisors are ready to help. Schedule your free consultation today by calling 888-747-PLAN. That number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit us at www.davidholland.com.
My name is Dale Pazinski, and this is how I live United. I volunteer with United Way, helping the homeless in my community by teaching computer skills and helping them build a basic resume. It's huge when somebody says, "That job that you helped me apply for, I got it." My name is Dale Pazinski. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United.
Go to liveunitedinvolutiaflagler.org. Brought to you by the United Way and the Ad Council.
With so many financial products and services available today, do you ever wonder what the best income strategy is for your situation? Call Holland Financial to receive a free educational DVD on retirement income strategies. Certified financial planner David Holland discusses some of the income planning strategies used by retirees and baby boomers. The DVD is available free of charge, hassle, or pressure by simply calling 888-747-PLAN. Again, that's 888-747-7526.
This is your two-minute warning.
Yes, it is. And the two-minute warning for today is five ways to torpedo your retirement. USA News had a report out, and several of these items I agreed with, and I'm going to add a couple of extras. Number one way to mess up your retirement, in no particular order, as the British actor says on The X Factor. Number one, too much debt. Okay, I know that will surprise you. It's really a big burden for people that get, I've seen it happen where people move into retirement with way too much debt. They can't, then they go into an environment where they don't have as much income, or they're drawing on their investments and their other resources to pay the debt. And maybe the choice of retirement wasn't their choice. Maybe there was no choice at all. They were forced to retire early. And when they did that, they lost that income. So do everything you can to pay off as much debt, especially high interest credit cards and other debt. I know that sounds like an obvious statement, but sometimes we need to say the obvious. And for parents who are looking to retire, don't spend your retirement savings on college funding for the kids. It's a wonderful gift to be able to say to the kid, "Okay, wonderful. You're ready to join the workforce, but we're going to pay off your debt and you don't have to worry about your student loans." That's great. Wonderful gift, but you are putting a major dent into your retirement. So think carefully about that. No emergency plan. You've got to have cash. You've got to add up everything that can go wrong, all the deductibles and everything else, and make sure you've got enough cash money to make ends meet and also have at least several, 2 or 3, 4 months of living expenses. And most of all, have a long-term plan. If you don't have a long-term plan, and I mean a financial plan for retirement, if you don't have one, then it's awfully difficult to know how much money you can take out of your retirement accounts and use for your retirement. So we are coming up on the show. Thank you for being with me, and I will be talking again tomorrow. Look forward to it.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons. What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.